Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the manhunt continuing for a gunman. Police say targeted and killed UnitedHealthcare's CEO outside a Manhattan hotel today. CEO Brian Thompson was in New York City to speak at an investors' conference. He lived in Minnesota. ABC's Camaria Bray is in Minnetonka outside UnitedHealthcare headquarters with reaction.
Thompson's sister-in-law says the family is devastated, and one of her biggest concerns is how his children is reacting to this news. She says he was an amazing father. And Governor Tim Walz posted on X saying, "This is horrifying news and a terrible loss for the business and healthcare community."
Political fallout in South Korea after President Yoon attempted to impose martial law yesterday, triggering protests. Hours later, Parliament voting to end martial law, and the president agreed, but he now faces possible impeachment. And demonstrators are back out in the streets of Georgia for a seventh day protesting against the government's leaning toward Russia.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin state Republicans have officially appealed the Dane County court ruling that struck down parts of the controversial Act 10 as unconstitutional. The legislation passed in 2011 limited the ability of some public service workers, like teachers, to collectively bargain. On Monday, Judge Jacob Frost found the law violated the Equal Protection Clause of the state constitution, as only some public employees lost those bargaining rights. State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said they will also seek a stay of the decision pending the result of the appeal. Law enforcement authorities are urging residents to avoid getting behind the wheel while intoxicated during the holiday season. The weeks between Thanksgiving and the New Year are some of the most popular travel weeks of the year, and residents may be planning to partake in holiday activities that could leave them impaired. If you do plan to participate in the festivities, you should plan ahead to make sure you have reliable transportation. Authorities will also be conducting their Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign through the end of the year. The Shell Lake School District is considering its next steps after failing to pass an operational referendum in the November election. Like many districts across the state, the district proposed a multi-year referendum to exceed their revenue limits amid rising operating costs, declining enrollment, and the end of COVID-19 pandemic-era funding. At a recent school board meeting, officials considered the possibility of proposing another referendum in the spring to avoid future budget cuts. The November referendum failed by only 57 votes. A Marshfield man accused of killing his roommate and moving her body to Price County will head to trial. On Tuesday, 38-year-old David Castro Garcia waived his right to a preliminary hearing on charges of first-degree intentional homicide. He was accused of killing 28-year-old Blanca Jesenia Hernandez Porta Carrero and moving her body to the township of Hackett before lighting it on fire. Authorities discovered her body when they responded to the fire. Castro Gutierrez allegedly admitted to the homicide and is expected to enter a plea in January. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Short turnaround. The Bucks host the Atlanta Hawks tonight. The Bucks coming off a 127-107 win over the Pistons last night in Detroit. Head coach Doc Rivers on their seventh win in a row.
The more we attack the paint, the more open shots we're going to get. Detroit is a help basketball team like every team is, and our guys just found the open man.
College Hoops, number 5th ranked Marquette is at Iowa State tonight. On Saturday, they'll host Wisconsin. The Badgers losing to Michigan, 67-64, their first loss of the season. Head coach Greg Gard.
Credit to Michigan. They banked on us not being able to bang in some threes and did a good job of gumming up the paint and made it hard in terms of that regard, and were able to get enough offense going to get past us.
NFL, the Packers Matt LaFleur asked if Jair Alexander will be able to play Thursday night against the Lions despite his knee injury.
We'll see. I mean, I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A wind advisory continues this evening for gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Lingering flurries, otherwise mostly cloudy and cold tonight. A low near 5, wind chills well below zero. Mostly sunny and a high in the upper teens tomorrow, but warmer for the rest of the week and weekend. We're at 18 right now.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, the president's pardon of his son, Hunter Biden, gives us all a lesson in the power of grace to help others struggling with addiction.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Pump it up while your feet are stumping and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more.
Oh, wow. It's the place to listen to the radio. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on that Civic Media Radio Network. We began the show today by talking about charities. Since we blew through yesterday and we didn't get to list out our favorite charities for Giving Tuesday, folks, if you are still interested in giving one of your favorite charities a shout out, please do not hesitate to do so. I will call them out through the duration of the show. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I got an absolutely fabulous text in suggesting one such charity. It is the Center for Integrity in Forensic Sciences, Madison. So, and by the way, the website for this place is CIFSjustice.org. That's CIFSjustice.org. My thanks to the texter from the 608. This organization works in strengthening forensic science to exonerate people that have been wrongly accused. I worked in the University of Wisconsin Law School's Innocence Project. I actually worked on restorative justice, which is different from exoneration work, but within that structure of the Innocence Project at the University of Wisconsin and the Frank J. Remington Center. I can just tell you this. There has been so much garbage forensic science out there. If you want to go down a complete rabbit hole that will leave you like enraged, if you need something else to be enraged about, as if there's not quite enough on a day-to-day basis, do a little poking around. There's tons of documentaries out there about this kind of stuff, like bite mark analysis. Yeah, turns out that's garbage. Burn pattern analysis, also. Lots of junk science. That's not to say that there are not practitioners or quote unquote experts in these fields that actually do this work in an objective fashion. But what has happened in a lot of these so-called pseudosciencey forensic areas is it's basically a self-fulfilling prophecy. They sort of invent new analyses. These experts get paid to do consulting work or analyses for various police departments, and it's kind of a beast that feeds itself. We now know that eyewitness testimony, for example, is highly unreliable. All of these things have been used over many decades in and out of courtrooms to convict people, some of whom were innocent. And so looking to a place like the Center for Integrity and Forensic Sciences, to me, to help educate both police departments, but district attorney's offices, and to do the work of exoneration, I think is incredibly important. you know, I'm one of those women that thinks we need to be testing all of the rape kits that we've got, that where there are credible claims of innocence or potential innocence, there should absolutely be no reason why additional forensic testing and especially genetic testing isn't done to clarify that. So just a huge thanks to my texter from the 608 listening on WMDX for that wonderful suggestion. Again, if you have a favorite charity that you would like to shout out, please do not be afraid to text or call and let us know. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We are hoping to get Kathy. We had a caller on the line. I see somebody joining us. Cardi's going to give them a screen here. But there were a few other bits that I wanted to get through this afternoon. My big thanks again to Christina Reynolds, Senior VP for Communications and Content at Emily's List, talking about all the things that we've got to be hopeful about and to look forward to and the things that we should continue to fight for. I'm going to give you some specific kind of emotional resilience tips in just a moment, but I did want to talk with you, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What would you like to say this afternoon, my friend?
Oh, hi, Maggie. Thanks. I love your show. I was listening today, and this is more or less a civics 101 comment, kind of basic, but I just wanted to put out there how important it is to call our senators. You know, leave a message with their assistant. You know, it's our constitutional right. You know, we leave a message for Ron Johnson, leave a message for Tammy Baldwin on new issues. You know, like with the Trump cabinet appointments. And I just feel like one call isn't going to change everything, but if a lot of us are calling or, you know, writing, it can make a difference. They work for us.
So that's
what I intend to do going forward.
Absolutely, Kathy. Do you have a pen or paper ready? Because I'm going to give you Senator Ron Johnson's phone number for his D.C. office.
I do have his number, Maggie.
Okay, great. Well, I'll give it to everybody on the air. Thanks so much for listening and calling, Kathy. A happy holiday season to you and yours. Here's Ron Johnson's phone number in D.C. Everybody, write it down. Call Ron every day. 202-224-5323. 202-224-5323. Call him up and tell him that you think Pete Hegseth needs to go down in a blaze of glory. Call him up and tell him that Linda McMahon, who was sued for allegedly enabling sexual abuse of children, should be nowhere near the Department of Education. Call Ron Johnson up at 202-224-5323 and tell them that a vaccine conspiracy theorist like RFK should not head up the Department of Health and Human Services. Call up Senator Ron Johnson at 202-224-5323 and tell them that vaccine skeptics have no business running the National Institutes of Health. Tell them that QAnon followers like Cash Money $ Patel should not be running the FBI. We can get involved. That's one way. Taking those little actions, in fact, can help you be more emotionally resilient in these times. So I did want to share with you, this is from an article by Brad Stolberg in the New York Times called How Not to Fall into Despair. He writes about mental health and trying to achieve excellence. And he reminds us that there has been floating around for some time a term called tragic optimism, which is trying, you know, this act of trying to find meaning and maintaining hope despite what is utterly predictable and normal in human life, which is there will be inevitably in all of our lives pain, loss, and suffering. And figuring out how to continue to find meaning in what we do and to find hope and to share that with others helps us get through those times as human beings where we have pain and loss and suffering. And one of the things that he points out in this article is that there has kind of been this idea sold, especially to Americans, that that we're supposed, there's an assumption that we're supposed to be like blissfully happy and winning all the time, right? Like if I hear somebody else give the hashtag winning, like, no, that's dumb. We have this presumption that we're supposed to be happy all the time. And actually we're not supposed to be happy all the time. If you're happy all the time, that might be something to explore and probe a little bit for yourself personally, because again, being a vulnerable person, a human being with genuine relationships is going to open you up to pain and sometimes suffering and loss. And so this isn't about like embracing depression or, you know, things that are really harmful to you, but that again, we're not going to be in denial about the fact that bad things happen. And we're not going to delude ourselves into sort of a false sense or expectation of perfect happiness all the gosh darn time, because that doesn't work, right? Like either excessive optimism or excessive sort of sadness, neither of those are good. We don't want to deny that anything's wrong, yet we don't want to also say that everything is wrong, because neither of those two extremes is usually true. And fundamentally at the bottom level of this, and that's why I loved Kathy's phone call about calling Ron Johnson, is that we all have agency and choice. We all get to make decisions about how we're going to spend our time and how we're going to invest our resources and precious energy every day. And if we approach those opportunities, whether it's in political engagement or in engaging with our local favorite charity that's making an impact or with our families, when we recognize that we get to choose how we're going to spend our time and how to use our resources and energy, when we maintain our agency, that actually gives us hope. And when you have hope, guess what it can do? It reminds you that you have agency. And so I think trying to embrace that in these times is really, really important. And the last thing I'll say is this, and I talked a little bit about this after the election. For me, I had to, again, sort of look at myself and say, why is it that I like to do this work? Why do I enjoy talking about politics? And at the base of it, and some days I fail at this, and I appreciate all of you for allowing me to be imperfect and to fail some days. At the base of all of this is I am incredibly curious and I want things to be better. And my curiosity, I hope most days I can temper with some humility that I don't know all the answers. So if we can all, I think, again, maintain our agency, take some active steps, stay curious, stay humble, and stay open, and not sort of degrade into the constant whataboutism and maintain a focus on the future, I think that can really translate into productive action, no matter what party you think you affiliate or do affiliate with more frequently, no matter what side, where you fall along the spectrum. The very specific things from the article, very briefly, that were recommended is lean into your local communities, be kind to yourself, find those small routines to help support your mental health these days, whether it's taking a walk every day, some quality time just with tunes and a good book, or your dog, like my dog, Finny, 11 and a half pounds of love and cuddles, and allowing yourself to feel sad and some loss, and yet to try to maintain hope. Take those productive actions, and let's reclaim our agency together. When we come back, I'm going to complete my homework assignment and tell you about those rounding up at grocery stores. We're going to talk about the treatment of women on X. Keep it locked, everybody, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Everybody, happy hump day. Hope it is going well for you. I know it is for me because I'm here with each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I was asked on Monday, very helpfully, I might add, to discuss rounding up at the grocery store, which is now basically, I don't know a grocery store that I go to where I'm not asked if I want to round up. And I usually do. I don't even think I think about it that much. And I know a couple of texters chimed in and said, I think this is mostly a tax dodge for grocery stores. So I think the two questions here are, is this actually like helping the charities? And if so, to what extent? And secondly, is this legit or is there a whiff of suspicious activity? Is this actually a grift by the grocery stores to get out of paying taxes somehow? So I went to the Tax Policy Center, at the Urban Institute and Brookings Institution. And guess what? They've got a white paper on it. I love it when you all give me some homework assignments, and I looked it up. So in order to donate at a point of sale, like a grocery store roundup, the corporation has got to enter into an agreement with whatever that charity is. And usually those agreements, those arrangements have to be registered under state law. They do in the state of Wisconsin. So you can actually check those out. Go to the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Got to kind of look around a little bit, poke down through the menus, but you can find those arrangements. And corporations can deduct their direct charitable giving. So like if a corporation takes a portion of its net revenue and gives it to charity, they can deduct that, reducing their overall taxable income in the year of the donation up to 10% of their actual taxable income in a given year. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of a tangent here because that is pretty fascinating. And there are some charities that get set up basically to like create jobs for famous people's relatives and things that never actually generate any taxable income because they run very thin and they spend all of their donations on basically, quote, administrative expenses, which means overblown salaries for people that don't do a whole lot. So just a caveat there. But that is not the grocery store using the roundup to somehow reduce their taxable income. As long as the business is following the law, it has zero impact on the grocery store's income taxes. Again, this is according to the Tax Policy Center, which is affiliated and run by the Urban Institute and the Brookings Institution. That is the upshot. So no, there's nothing nefarious going on with the Roundup. And in fact, these rounding up things have raised nearly $500 million for the nonprofit sector in 2022. That was the last year that there was good, reportable, reliable data. $500 million for the nonprofit sector. That's a huge amount of money. In other words, those small rounding up things does make over time, and with all those pennies, it adds up and it does make an impact. One of the reasons, and I just wanted to mention this because this is fascinating, especially for folks like myself that have a nerdy pastime of both economics and behavioral economics, is this. People are more likely to round up than they are to say yes if you ask someone to donate a dollar. And here's the reason why. You and me and all humans perceive loss much more acutely than potential upsides or, frankly, like positive things overall. So we are less likely to respond, yes, I will give you a dollar, because our brain is registering that as a loss, when that is compared to, would you just round up? Which is, your brain doesn't perceive that as a loss. It's just a couple extra pennies, no big deal. It doesn't register as loss. They've actually run studies on this. Yes, of course, everybody, I went down the rabbit hole with my homework assignment and found out that indeed, yes, they've run some studies on this. This researcher did a study at the St. Louis Zoo that compared exactly those two things. Hey, would you give a dollar to support the zoo, or would you round up? And when they just did the rounding up, their total contribution levels went up 21% as compared to direct solicitation of, would you give a dollar to help the penguins or whatever it was at the St. Louis Zoo? So I have now completed my homework assignment. I feel good about that. Folks, you can always give me more fantastic homework assignments by calling or texting 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie to Sac pointing out that, yeah, he sees rounding up at so many places now. My local Ace Hardware usually has it. I have seen it at Walgreens. Yep, it's all over now. I think a lot of people are kind of having a little bit of rounding up fatigue, if you will. It's kind of like the tipping screens that are coming up now. But again, to just address those issues, yeah, the rounding up is having big, big economic impacts. Nearly $500 million in 2022 alone. Wow. And the corporations, it's not a tax dodge as long as they're actually following the law. And there should be with it within each of your states. Here in the state of Wisconsin, those agreements between the charities and the businesses should be filed with the state regulatory agencies. Having done my homework assignment for the week from you, our lovely listeners, we come back, I'm going to talk about Women on X, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how do we actually hold government accountable? What does that mean? What should we be looking at? How do we know if it's working? All that coming up right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked and join our conversation, because we're all about real news and great conversation. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. Thank you for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires on this Civic Media station. The Patriotic Millionaires are financial supporters through paid advertising on some Civic Media stations.
As the holiday season approaches, grain markets often experience a seasonal bounce, sometimes referred to as a Christmas rally. This year, corn markets are showing some positive movement, building momentum after a period of selling pressure tied to some contract deadlines around Thanksgiving. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, says while demand remains a key factor supporting prices, ample supply continues to weigh on the market.
Unfortunately, my targets aren't very high. You know, if we can get March somewhere back in that 450 window is kind of where I'm hoping we can get to, but we got a lot of work to do to get there. But that should probably provide some opportunities for producers, again, to go ahead and continue to make sales on rallies here. You know, we got still a heavy supply out there. The demand is good, and that's the biggest thing that's really helping, you know, turn prices off the lows since back in that August low that we placed here in the corn market. So we need to continue to see how that plays out.
That's John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
What makes Dairyland seed corn different? The right stuff. More options to help you fight corn rootworm pests. A variety of hybrids with an advanced combination of above-ground pest control and herbicide tolerance. And a ton of other options supported by direct access to agronomy experts who will help you get the most out of the ideal seed for your Midwestern acres. The right corn for you and the right people by your side. That's the Dairyland seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedCorn.com.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 432 and a quarter, down a quarter. New crop corn closed at 430 and three quarters, down a penny. Cash beans closed at 991 and three quarters, that was up 6.5 cents. And new crop beans closed at 1006 and a quarter, up three quarters. Cash wheat closed at 547 and a half, up a quarter. And new crop wheat closed at 562, also up a quarter. On the dairy side of things, January Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1863 a hundredweight, up 41 cents, and February milk is trading at 1878, up 23 cents. Barrel cheese closed today at 165, that was up 4.5 cents. 40-pound block cheese closed at 167, up 3.25, and the AA butter closed up 2.75 and closed at 252.25. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A wind advisory continues this evening for gusts higher than 40 miles an hour. Lingering flurries, otherwise mostly cloudy and cold tonight. A low near 5, wind chills well below zero. Mostly sunny and a high in the upper teens tomorrow, but warmer for the rest of the week and weekend. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll catch up with fan favorite Matt Rothschild. We'll talk about Act 10, who should be the new DNC chair, and also who wants to cut Social Security. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
everybody. How y'all doing? Happy Hump Day Wednesday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us this last half hour, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And be sure to take Civic Media everywhere you go by downloading the Civic Media app. It is free. You can get it wherever you like to get your apps from, for your Android device or your iPhone, whatever it may be. And give it away free to all your friends and family members for the holidays. Give them a little forward. Happy holidays. Here's a good place to get real news and great conversation every single day. I came across an article discussing the treatment of women on X, and I had a bit of a tete-a-tete yesterday, not during my show, but I stuck around with Dom Salvia, who's got the great show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. A guy called up because we were talking about the sexual assault allegations and police reports and cases that have been filed against a number of the people that Donald Trump has appointed to these really high-level cabinet positions. And the first thing I wanted to just point out is because the caller was really angry that, like, these people haven't been convicted of any crimes and you're maligning them and these are just accusations and there's no eyewitness testimony. They were also ticked because they said Donald Trump was civilly convicted, when I should have said Donald Trump was held civilly liable for sexual assault or rape. Anyways, and I needed to make this point, but the caller's vitriol and sort of anger at me in particular, and he kept calling me basically a dummy and you don't know anything about the law. It was really personal. It was quite an attack. And there were two things that I wanted to point out about that. And the first one was, we're not talking about taking away the liberty of these people, right? We're not talking about incarcerating them. We're talking about, do they get even more privileges, even more power? Do they get, in effect, a promotion and power over some of the most well-funded and powerful agencies in the world, right? And so there's a reason that the standard or the burden of proof in criminal cases is beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's because you're taking someone's liberty away. You're locking them up. That same standard of proof does not and should not apply when we're talking about whether or not somebody gets conferred an enormous benefit, fame, fortune, and power. Of course, we needn't prove these things beyond a reasonable doubt. In fact, I would argue that both for Supreme Court appointments under Article 3, which are lifetime appointments and decide the rights and privileges of fellow citizens, both in those instances and for these highest level cabinet picks, that we should actually employ the lowest burden of proof and the highest standard of character and conduct that we could ever envision. And the reason is that in the case of Article 3 federal court judges, they sit for a lifetime and they decide the rights and privileges of all of us. And so it is appropriate that people that enjoy that sort of power for the rest of their lives should be held to the absolute highest standards of competency, character, and conduct, higher perhaps even than the president, him or herself. And when it comes to cabinet-level departments, executive branch agency departments in our federal government, like education, like the Secretary of Defense, like the Attorney General, like the head of the FBI, that will have the ability to control the quality of life, whether or not certain people's privacy is invaded. Again, here too, when you wield power at this level, when you can control Americans' lives based on your decision, again, I will just humbly suggest and offer to each of you that we should have the lowest standard of proof and the highest standards imaginable of competency, character, and conduct. And that should apply whether it is Democrats or Republicans that are president. I think that should be a standard that we all should agree on going forward. Maybe we need to enact some laws about this. And maybe we need to apply them equally to all nominees, to all candidates, and certainly to all Article III federal judicial appointments. Now, this standard of conduct, of course, would have eliminated a man like Donald Trump from being president. It probably would also eliminate a guy like Bill Clinton from being president. And that's okay. That's okay. So this is not a standard that I want to waver or change depending on who sits in the Oval Office or who the nominee is. And it's a standard that, frankly, I would not want myself or my entire life to be subject to. And that's okay. It is okay to demand absolutely extraordinary character, competence, and past conduct from people in these highest offices. It's not just okay. It should be what we aim for. And if we agree that this should be what we aim for, that this should be the standard, regardless of who the nominees are or who the president might be, then we can maybe move past the whataboutism and the constant calls of hypocrisy that we level at one another seemingly all day long. But the guy's anger yesterday specifically directed at me. It was less at Dominic, whose show it was, but it was very much at me. Now, Dom and Jess P.S. ably retorted that caller for a goodly amount of time yesterday. But it reminded me of the fact that studies that have tracked conduct on the X platform, what used to be called Twitter, have found absolutely indisputable evidence that women are basically being harassed and trolled at exploding rates on the Twitter platform. And just late last month, perhaps a really perfect distilled example of this occurred. A woman posted a photo of herself holding her PhD thesis. This was on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, along with the announcement that she had just successfully defended her PhD dissertation, which is a huge deal. There are a lot of people who have completed all their coursework for a PhD, but it's everything but dissertation, the EBD. They haven't got the dissertation done. And she just said this: thrilled to say I passed via my Viva with no corrections, and I am officially PhD done. And the right and the bros freaked out. This woman is why everything is falling apart, began one poster. This is why there is the degradation of Western civilization. Of course, the implication that women getting an education or attaining the highest level of educational attainment somehow degrades civilization, a spurious proposition at best. They went on, quote, she got a PhD for this, and from the looks of her, she probably believes that this entitles her to an extremely high status lifestyle. Remember this when they tell you that women are, quote, beating men at getting an education. Crow's feet, no children, said another poster. You literally have lived in the most advantaged time in all of human history for women, and after 40 years have literally nothing of any real value to show for it, and your bloodline will end with you due to your need to stick it to the evil man by getting an education. This is so bizarre to me. Why is my advocacy of high standards of character, conduct, and competence for presidential appointees, my opposition to people credibly accused for sexual assault, or my attainment of postgraduate degrees, why is that threatening to men? Can somebody explain that? Oh, wait, we do have someone on the line, but I'm not going to ask him. CJ, I'm sorry, I'm not taking your call today, my friend. I do not fundamentally understand, other than the most Cro-Magnon retrograde justifications imaginable, why saying people credibly accused of sexual assault probably shouldn't be Supreme Court justices or run the Defense Department. like, why is that so enraging to men? Why were men so ticked off by this completely anodyne post by this woman who got a PhD? Why is it necessary for you to freak out? Is the male ego seriously this fragile? And if it is, I have a question for you, because it seems to me that Donald Trump has been Mr. Tough Guy for so long, right? Like, yep, we're fighting for men and the heteronormative cisgendered patriarchy, and that's good, and it's the fabric of Western society. If you all are so gosh darn tough, then why don't you just shut up about it? Like, why the constant screaming and whining and shouting down of women? Why degrade women, right? Like, I don't understand. If you're so much better, if you're so tough, it just doesn't follow logically why you find it necessary to troll women on freaking X. Call me up on the phone and troll me. At least the guy yesterday had the cojones to do that. I'll give him credit for that. You know, all of this at the end is about power. And the last time I checked, the United States still hasn't elected a woman president. You look at Fortune 50 companies, very few female CEOs. Like, guys, you still hold the purse strings and the majority of the reins of power. Like, women aren't replacing you. Black and brown folk aren't replacing you. Chill the frick out. I just don't understand the freaking out on a very basic level. Because when you whine about stuff like this, I think it just goes to show how weak you are, how fragile your ego is, how unprepared to have an argument on the merits you are. Because if you want to join issue, great, let's join issue and have the fight. You want to talk about which president got more done for the middle class and working people? Great, let's have that discussion. You want to say Democrats haven't done enough? I agree. But guess what they haven't done? They don't propose things like tax cuts for billionaires and corporate welfare. Those aren't Democratic principles. Meaning, capital D, Democratic principles, meaning of the party. That's not what we run on. So It's just been an incredibly sad and kind of pathetic time when I see what I'm just going to call like the broverse going after women in this way. Like, quit making it about gender, right? Like, if you don't want to make it about gender, stop making it about gender and let's actually have the arguments. But that seems to be beyond the pale. I often find it ironic that CJ can't argue with me about the thing that I want to argue about. Why do you want to change the topic all the time? And here's the most interesting thing about the phenomena that we're seeing on X. Remember when Elon Musk bought X? It was like, I'm going to return free speech to this platform. But he's done the exact opposite of that. We know that he's rewritten and directed people at X to rewrite the algorithms to promote particular content. That's not free speech. That's not letting the marketplace of ideas filter out what are the best ideas or the most interesting ones. You're manipulating that. We know that he's rewritten or directed others to rewrite the algorithms to suppress left-leaning content and elevate the broverse. That ain't free speech. That's manipulated speech. Oh, and by the way, just so you ladies know out there, and gentlemen as well, X recently changed its blocking function so that blocked users can still see the posts of the person that blocked them, which makes it easier for stalkers and harassers to keep tabs on women and others. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about accountability in government, what it means and how we do it. On the Maggie Dawn Show, your calls and texts are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. you could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest yield savings accounts at an online bank. Just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You get a fast car. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Top of the hour, we'll bring on Dom Salvia. He's got the great show that follows mine from 4 to 6 p.m. every day. We've been talking about what I'm going to call the whiny broverse, which seems to freak out like every time a woman gets a PhD or decides not to have kids, as if that's some sort of like deep cultural offense. You know, women making choices about whether or not to have children, get married, and how much education they'd like to acquire. I think on balance, we should all have those choices. And there's, you know, there's this whole movement on the Christian far right for like the trad wife, meaning like the traditional wife that stays at home and makes handmade, homemade snacks. And like all that's fine. I don't see highly educated women en masse, like denigrating women who want to stay at home. Like, that's work too. It needs to be respected. That's a great choice too. We don't have to have like these false choices that one thing is good and the other is bad. It just seems so counterproductive. And I also want to point out that like men seem to want to have it like in all different kinds of ways. You know, like women, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And I think that that's a little unfair. And by that, I mean, you know, men want women to be attractive and you know, respectful and supportive, but only in particular ways. It's kind of like, can we just throw that old playbook out and move on, please? Like, women have a place in our society just as men do. And you don't get to tell all women, you know, what they can and cannot be. At least you shouldn't be able to, even though they seem to think they should be able to control our bodies. A little frustrating. Joe from Madison, how are you, my friend? And what would you like to share this afternoon?
I think this discussion is worthy of several hours. I mean, it is just a fascinating time in our life with where people feel free to denigrate whether you would know. I didn't hear the conversation, but it makes me laugh that somebody would be angry at you and saying you're not understanding the law when I believe you have a degree in law and worked as a lawyer for quite a number of years, correct?
I mean, yes. I think he was trying to make a lot of hay out of the fact that, frankly, I did use an incorrect technical term. I said civilly convicted, which lends itself to making it sound like criminal. But I fully acknowledge that and said, yeah, he was civilly liable for rape. But yes, Joe, he was having a little bit of a freak out. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think all you can say is just, you know, sit down now and put a cold compress on your head. It'll pass. Really, it will get better. And I don't know. What strikes me oftentimes is men who feel free to be denigrating the looks of women and talking about crow feet, and this is, you haven't done anything but a PhD and you're 40 years old and a loser and all. I wonder if those men have daughters, and I wonder if they have granddaughters, and are they okay with that? Would they be okay with that kind of language being dumped on their progeny about those, the dreams and wishes of those young women? I find it kind of amazing, and I still find it kind of amazing that Trump has been a guy who is, the language of grab him by the pee has been a part of who he is. People know who he is. Yet men and women have voted for him. And I just think if that were your daughter who was caught in a room with him, if that were your granddaughter who were caught in a room with him, would you be okay about those kinds of assaults by a big rich guy who, I'm sorry, didn't work for it. Daddy wrote a big check, and it's true for Elon Musk that Daddy wrote a big check. Yep. And there are a lot of
Emerald Miner from South Africa. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Here to tell us how we should cut Social Security, and everybody's going to have to take a haircut. Of course, we don't talk about whether he's taking a haircut with any of his payments to Tesla at all. Instead, it's supposed to be just those of us who are looking forward to having Social Security and Medicare at the end of a long, long time of working and having money taken out of paychecks. So I find the question of, would you be okay if your daughter went through this? Would you be okay if your wife was, people denigrated your wife? Let's say she got an RN and she posted it and was, you know, really proud about getting, finishing a four-year program and being an RN, and people got on Facebook and said, my God, look at her face. She looks like hell.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with that? And I guess to me, that's the place that hopefully would make a connection to men who seem, those men who feel so seemingly full of anger, to say, what if it was your daughter? What if it was your wife? Are you okay with that language being used? And I don't know how else to get the point across, Maggie. I really don't. And I think it is really worth a discussion, because as we're heading into this time, I just sense this great freedom for men to be quite angry and to say some just horrendous things of, you know, your body, my choice forever, that kind of thing. And does everybody have to be armed to respond to that? This can't be the way that we are to go forward. It just can't be. So thanks for bringing up the topic, and I hope we return to it, because it feels like there's a lot of anger by women and men, but particularly men, over this issue. But I'm seeing more and more women having this sense of just, man, time to arm up. I've had it. So it definitely is worth bringing up again and talking about more. Thanks a lot, Maggie. I really appreciate the opportunity to add my thoughts to the discussion.
Thanks so much, Joe. Michaela from West Bend also weighing in, agreeing. She said she's seeing a lot of traditional wives judging and putting down women who have chosen a different path. Ladies, can we stop hating each other a little bit? Like, we all ain't the problem. I'm just saying, stand up for one another, like stand up for choices about how you want to live your life. I thought that was kind of an American ideal, because I will stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll be back tomorrow with Tom Paulswitz. Dom Salvia is up next. Don't go anywhere, folks. Right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be someone.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll see how feisty those winds are with Brittany Merlot and a little weather and wine. We talk sports with J.R. Ratcliffe and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Mattner on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle?
Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.